our comments about truth being paramount and preeminent and the most important thing, I hope that will follow through in every aspect of our life. Turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat, loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him thither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without in the place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, Why, what do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strewed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about on all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon, and when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. And if ye have aught against any, that ye have that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you would speak to our hearts, that you would make your principles clear, that we would see them, that we would tremble at your word, that we would have a updated and enhanced view of life and ourselves, because we have looked into the mirror of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. They asked Jesus, By what authority do you do these things? What were they asking him? They were basically saying, what right do you have to do what you have done? And they were referring to him cleansing the temple. They were referring to him teaching in the temple. He was doing a lot of things, and they said, what right do you have to do this? Well, in their minds, a right was God-given authority. By what authority? Who gave you this authority? It was actually a privileged and entrusted position. It was not a personal right. They understood that this was something that had to be granted from God. In John 5:19, Jesus said, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Verse 30, he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. In John 8:28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. In John 14:31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. John 15:10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What Jesus is saying here is, I do not assume any personal rights, but act only within the realms of God's will. What God authorizes for me to do, I have a privileged position, which must be maintained by appropriate performance in the position, I will lose that position and all the privileges that go with that position. Okay? He said, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What if he didn't keep his Father's commandments? He said, I do nothing of myself. I seek not mine own will. This was why Jesus had a right to do what he did in the temple, because he had a entrusted, privileged position that gave him that right. We like to talk a lot about rights. And some people have a wrong idea of what a right is. When we talk about rights, most of what we call rights are really privileged positions or privileges that have been granted to us. They are conditional privileges. Okay? Let me read to you an example of a skewed view of freedom or human rights. The Reverend Patricia Budd Kepler stated, Eve's eating of the apple in the Garden of Eden was the first free act of the human race. We ought to recognize that act. We ought to celebrate Eve. She began the process of freedom. Now, who is this woman? She was the director of ministerial studies at Harvard Divinity School. Is there any wonder why the nation's in the shape it's in? Was Jesus not free? Was his actions not free? Yeah. But he freely chose to obey God, right? He freely chose to live within the boundaries of a privileged position. Were the angels that were holy not free? Were only the angels that fell, were they the only ones that were free? Does freedom demand rebellion and disobedience? No, it does not. And what most people think of as rights is really rebellion. Okay? It's really assumed authority to do as I please. That is not the case in reality. The Declaration of Independence states, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, the word unalienable means incapable of being alienated, that is, sold and or transferred. Black's Law Dictionary. Okay? And on this same page, where this was brought up, somebody gave a conclusion. Here's their conclusion. You cannot surrender, sell, or transfer unalienable rights. They are a gift from the Creator to the individual and cannot under any circumstances be surrendered or taken. All individuals have unalienable rights. Is this a true conclusion? No, I think that's a misinterpretation of the Declaration of Independence. Why, if this were true, then why are there people in prison? Are we violating their rights? They said they cannot be taken. Why are people executed? If all men have these unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. No, the fact is, those are not unalienable rights, and I think what the Declaration of Independence meant, and maybe what it should have said, was that all law-abiding citizens should be entrusted with the privileges of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness because God has willed it to be so.
Amen.
Okay? Now, I think that's what it really meant. Obviously, they didn't mean to give criminals unconditional rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of whatever they considered happiness. It was lawful happiness, right? So, what commonly can be commonly called a right in regards to our fellow men is really only a privilege in regards to our Creator and Lord. Before Him, we have no rights. Okay? Because God has given me the privilege of being the husband and father of my household, then as long as I am walking within the conditions of that privileged position, I can say to man, I have a right to be the father and husband of my household. Okay? But it's not a personal right. It's not something that I have authority in and of myself to stand up and say, I have a right and demand my right. No. I have a privileged position from my Creator. Otherwise, I have no right.
Amen.
A right before men is based on a privilege granted from God. When I violate the conditions of my privileged position before God, then I no longer have a right in regards to man. Okay? I'm corresponding right now with two gentlemen who are doing time who didn't seem to understand this. Romans 14:1, turn there if you would, and let's look at a couple ideas. Talking about matters of conscience here and doubtful disputations. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. But not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let him that eateth despise, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. Why? Why? Does he have a right? It says, for God hath received him. Okay, therefore, because God has given him this privilege, this special immunity, or this special permission in this area, therefore you cannot judge, and I cannot judge, they cannot judge. It is something you have to let go, and you cannot stand up and condemn or judge, because they have a right to do that. But really, they have a privileged position there, because God has received him. God has given him privileged liberty, and in the boundaries of that, he can say he has a right. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he should be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. A God-given privilege is based on walking within God's boundaries. God is able to make him stand. If this man is walking within the bounds of Scripture and God's will, then that is his right. He has a right to stand there. One man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Okay? If God has given a privilege, then within the boundaries of that privilege only, we have a right. Okay? It says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. We have no rights apart from God-given privileges. Okay? You see that? To abuse God-given privileges is to lose all our rights. To abuse God-given privileges is to be rejected as an unfaithful steward of those privileges. We're talking today about the stewardship of privileges. Okay? A privilege, by definition, is a special right, advantage, or immunity granted or available only to a particular person or group of people. In other words, it's a conditional right or advantage or immunity to people who meet qualifications. Yes. Nobody, I don't have a right to do anything just because I'm me.
Amen.
I don't have a right to use any of my faculties in my own person or power or authority because I want to. Most of what we think of as rights are really privileges entrusted to us by God. Turn to Jude chapter 1. I think one of the biggest problems in homes, in churches, in Christians' lives is the assumption of rights. I have a right to treat my wife this way. I have a right to spout off to my husband. I have a right to treat my children like it's my household. I have a right to preach what I want or believe what I want. It's my personal faith. You know, I have a right to believe what I want to. No, you don't have any rights.
That's right.
You don't have a right to do anything but what God said to do.
Amen.
In Jude 1:1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. But I want my own brand of Christianity. I want my own beliefs. I want to believe. You don't have any choice in the matter. The faith which was once delivered to the saints is what you can believe. You can believe that. That's the only thing you have a right to believe. It's a privileged position. Do I have a right to believe as I wish? Is my belief and what I believe my own business? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Is what I teach a personal right? Is it my own business? Is the opportunity to influence others a right or a privilege entrusted to me? I'm talking about my example. My influence on those around me is a entrusted privilege. It's not a. I cannot influence people the way I want to influence them just because I want to. You know, what I have found is that people, they don't want to stay within the boundaries of God-given privileges, but yet they don't want the labels God has ordained for those who step outside those boundaries. They don't like the labels that God puts on that. He goes on to say here, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. Okay, let's follow this train of thought. These men wanted to believe what they wanted to believe. Okay? They wanted to change the grace of God to what they wanted it to be. And he said, I will therefore put you in remembrance that though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt, that's a privileged position, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Being out of Egypt was no right. Believing what you want was no right. Them being in the God's people out of Egypt, that was a privileged position. Well, I'm a son of Abraham, I have a right. No, you don't. But then at the same time, they say, don't call me an unbeliever just because I don't believe your way. Don't label me with unbeliever. Well, everybody believes something. Okay? You don't have to be a total unbeliever in everything to be an unbeliever. When you cease to believe the faith once delivered to the saints, when you reject the truth of the Word of God, you are an unbeliever.
Amen.
Okay? Then he goes on to say, and the angels which kept not their first estate. That first estate was a privileged position. Okay? They thought they had a right to do as they pleased. They thought they had a right to use their own brain. It says, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So, did the angels have any rights? Did they have a right to do what they thought they wanted to do and to gratify themselves and to do as they pleased? Then why are they under chains? Why are they chained until the day of judgment? They had a privileged position, an important position, and they chose to violate that, and they thought they had a right to. They've been in that darkness a long time. They probably thought, we should have a right to choose what makes us happy. Does anybody have that right? Outside the boundaries of God-given privileges, we have no such right. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, there is no such right outside the boundaries and conditions of God-given privileges.
Amen.
Number 7, it says here, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them in like manner, being a city, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They had that for a while. They had that privilege. They thought that it was a right. And they gave themselves over to fornication and went after strange flesh and said, now they're set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. They had no such rights. What I believe, what I do with my body, how I conduct myself, my moral choices are not my own. Don't call me wicked. I shouldn't have to be called wicked just because I choose to live different than you do. They don't like the labels, do they? They don't want to stay within boundaries, and yet they don't like the labels. Turn to Acts chapter 5. They don't want to be called rebellious. They don't want to be called wicked. They don't want to be called immoral. But yet they don't want to stay within the boundaries God has set. In Acts chapter 5, we have something mentioned that we talked about a little bit in Sunday school. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Well, they have a right to do what they please. It's their own, isn't it? It's a possession. It's mine. And kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? In other words, you didn't have to sell it. You didn't have to give it. Okay? But you did not have a right to deceive. You did not have a right to sell it and say you're giving all of it and only give part of it. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. He thought he had a right. It's nobody's business. If I want to bring this and say, we sold it, I'm bringing it all to the church. If I wanted to keep something back for myself, it's nobody's business but mine. He quickly learned that's not the case. I don't want to be treated like I'm bad or evil just because I don't want everyone to know my business. Well, you don't have to let everybody know your business, but you have to be honest. You have to be righteous. You have a right to privacy within the boundaries of God-given privileges.
Right.
Was his life, Ananias and Sapphira, was their life a right or a privilege? Well, it was taken away, wasn't it? So was God the criminal? No. They violated their privileged position. Did they have a right to do as they pleased with their money and land? Well, only within certain boundaries. Was church membership a right or a privilege? Was their liberty and pursuit of happiness a right? It was all taken away. Obviously, it wasn't a right. Was their authority and influence in the church a right? Were they allowed to influence the church however they wished? No. Did they have a right to say what they pleased? No. Turn to 3 John. 3 John, we have the situation of a bishop. In verse 9, I wrote unto the church, John says, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. I'm sure if you'd have talked to Diotrephes, he'd have said, I don't want to be viewed as a rebel and apostate, but I don't want to respect God's boundaries either. Was authority and position a right? Did he have the right to teach and preach what he pleased? Did he have a right to go contrary to the apostles? Was influence and opinion his own to do with as he pleased? No. No. Not at all. Everything he had, his very life, his position, his influence, his words, were all privileges from his Maker. And they all had responsibilities. And they all had boundaries set by his Maker. In 2 Timothy 4:10, we hear about Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, hold it. Was not life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness his right? Not outside the boundaries. He probably said, I don't want to be called an apostate. I don't want to be called a failure. But I do want to save my life and happiness. But there's no way to get around it. You're an apostate. You're a failure. People don't like the labels. And yet they want to place themselves in the categories. They don't like God's categories. They don't like how He has labeled the categories. And yet they want to be in those categories. They don't want to follow the guidelines that God set up. If you want to be an overcomer, if you want to be spiritual, if you want to be godly, if you want to be honest, if you want to be righteous, you've got to line up with how God has labeled categories and make sure you're in that category. You can't just go out and do as you please. Oh, I don't want to be called a gossip. Then don't gossip. Yeah. I don't want to be called a liar. Then don't lie. The Corinthian fellow who was caught in fornication turned over to Satan. Probably could have said, we are two consenting adults and what we do is our right to decide. We shouldn't be treated like criminals. Prisons are full of people who thought they had a right to do what they pleased without being treated like criminals. They thought they had a right. Paul didn't seem to think he had a right. Church didn't seem to think he had a right after Paul straightened him out. Paul said, commit him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so he'll repent. He'll repent of something he thought he had a right to do. Let me ask you this. Did Peter have a right to save his own life? Well, fleeing in the garden, that would have been a... But denying Jesus to save his... He did not have a right to save his life when it came to denying his Lord. That was not a right he had. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness? No, it was not a right. That is a privileged position within boundaries. When it comes to denying my Lord, I have no right to save my life. Peter had a privileged position. And that privileged position demanded that he confess his Lord and be faithful to truth even unto death. should I be called a coward or a traitor or a failure just because I wanted to save my life? People don't like the labels. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God has made the categories. God has put the labels over the categories, and there is no escaping that. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And this all has to do with thinking I have rights I don't have. Thinking that I, as a human being, if I realized how privileged I am to even be breathing God's air, eating God's food, standing on God's earth, I would be grateful and I would glorify Him as God, and I would not become vain in my imagination. My foolish heart would not be darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God that gave them up into vile affections. That's what He calls it. Oh, I'm just oriented different. No, it's vile affections. Okay? For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or fitting. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient or not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death. The judgment of God. In other words, God's labels. They're worthy of death. God has made the categories. God has labeled the categories. Atheist, idolater, immoral, sodomite, rebellious. The labels are not hate speech.
That's right.
They're God's judgments.
Amen.
Okay? Until you agree with God's judgments and repent, you are categorized with Antichrist.
Amen.
Oh, but, you know, me and God have our own thing going. No, God says you're an Antichrist. In Hebrews 12, we hear about Esau. And Esau and Cain were a lot alike. They were both the firstborn. But you know what they both learned? They learned that birthright was really a birth privilege. They thought they had a right. And they thought, you know, a right means it's unalienable. It means nobody can take it away. It does not have to be maintained. It is mine because of who I am. And I don't have to live up to qualifications. I don't have to stay within boundaries. I don't have to meet conditions. Well, they learned quickly that that's not the case. Firstborn is not a right, but a privileged position with responsibility. Did Esau have a right to barter with his birthright? No. It was not his to barter with. It was a privileged position, entrusted. People get upset. One man recently in an email to me said, "Here I am believing my case is different, but finding myself in the list of the departed. It is unfortunate that I and my family will likely be talked about as one of the families that fell away." Don't like those labels. Don't tell me I apostatized. Don't tell me I fell away. Don't tell me I quit. Don't tell me I failed. Don't tell me I'm rebellious. People begin to question God's word, question the existence of God, tear down God's ministers, begin a fault-finding campaign against the church, all because they want to do as they please. They want to think they have rights, and they don't want God's labels on them. You cannot do as you please. None of us can. You have no rights, only privileges before God. You cannot say what you please. Psalm 12:4 says, "Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?" That's the attitude of most people. Who is Lord over us? My lips are my own. That's just the way I am. I'll just tell you what I think. You don't have a right to do that. You only have a right when it's within the boundaries of God-given privilege. And God sets the boundaries on that. You cannot live how you please. Do you know that eating is a privilege to those who work? If a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. Eating is not a right. I don't have a right to be fed. It's a privileged position. This last week I was doing some remodeling at a house in town. In their attic, if you climb up in the attic, you've got to crawl, and there's open fiberglass insulation everywhere, and it's covered with bat guano all over. I just sprinkled all over the place. Just, you know what guano is? That's another fancy name for manure. Stuff that mascara is made out of, we learned. Bat poop. So with the lady at the zoo, she told everybody that came by about some bats over there, she let everybody know that mascara is made out of bat manure. One guy turned to his girlfriend and said, "Do you realize you have bat poop on your face?" Anyways, I was up and we were just about done with the job, and I realized I needed to put another switch in the wall. I had already been up there, and I don't know if I'm allergic to the bat stuff or what it is. I've dealt with insulation many times, but I got up there and suddenly I had cough, cough, cough. My nose is running, my eyes are running, and it was just misery being up there. Well, I thought I was all done up there, and I realized, no, I've got to put a separate switch to this other light in the wall here. So, okay, Titus, you pay attention. I cut a hole. You pay attention. I'm going to go up there and see if I can fish a Romex down. You see if you can get it. So I go up in the attic. I'm crawling around, and the edge of the roof is such that where I had to fish this down, here's the roof line, here's the attic line, you know, how it gets narrower. It had to be over here, and here I am. So I'm down on my knees, move the insulation away. My face is almost by the insulation. I've got one knee on a joist, another knee on something else, trying not to fall off. And I'm reaching way back in there, and there's a hole I uncovered, and I'm stuffing Romex in this hole, trying to fish it down that hole. And it's stressed position, and coughing, and my nose is running, and you don't want to touch your face after you've touched other stuff in the attic. And so, finally, I'm fishing. I put so much Romex in that hole it ought to be down there. Titus didn't see it. It wasn't showing up. I thought, well, it must have got hung up. So I thought, I'll pull it back out. Pull, 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 pull. I came to a point, it wouldn't pull anymore. You know how if you throw a drop cord on the floor and 5 minutes later you pick it up, it's tied itself in knots. You know how it does that all by itself? this Romex in the wall had made a knot. I thought, okay, this is great. So I got my cutters and I pulled it, reached down there and snipped it and pushed that piece through. Said, okay, let's try again. And I started fishing this down, fished it tight. I said, got it! Great. That's good. So I pulled it up, run over the box, cut my Romex, wired it into the box, got it all ready. Thought, I'm out of here. You know, done. Went downstairs, went to the hole where the light switch was. There's a Romex sticking out. I grabbed it and I pulled it. It felt kind of loose. I thought, oh no, no, can't be. Pull. It's the piece that I cut off. So now I already cut my piece up there. So hopefully I have enough out of the piece that I had with me. I didn't want to have to buy more. So back up in the attic again. I crawl back in there, move the insulation, pull that out, and start feeding another piece down. And this time, just immediately, oh, got it! That was, it was done, you know. Came over, had enough Romex. But as I was doing that, feeling like screaming a few times, I realized that earning my living by the sweat of my brow is a privilege. There's people in this world who would love to and they can't. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to earn my living by the sweat. Do I have a right to be upset? Really, I don't. I didn't have a right to get upset. Do I have a right for things to go my way? No. Do I have a right to complain or quit? No, I don't. I've seen people who I know would love to be able to get up and work and do things and make a living, even if it's hard, and they can't. I have a privileged position to be able to go out and earn my living by the sweat of my brow. Nothing you are or have is your right. It's only a privilege entrusted from God. And you can and will lose what you have if you violate the conditions of the trust. Turn to Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now this little story here says a lot to us about the difference between rights and privileges. Was his ground his own? Did he have a right to lay up treasure for himself? Did he have a right to not be rich toward God? Did he have a right to choose which God to serve? Attend the church of your choice. You know, really, that's not a right. You have the privilege of finding the truth and obeying it. You don't have the right to believe or serve just the God of your choice. Was his life his own to do with as he pleased? No. Was his future his own? Did he not have a right to, you know, take care of himself? Did he have a right to go to heaven? Or to be forgiven? Was his money his own? Did he have a right to withhold tithes, offerings, and alms to the poor? Which is what would constitute being rich toward God. Was his thoughts and plans his own? Was his soul his own? Was his time his own? Could he exercise his assumed rights and escape God's label? God said, thou fool. Oh, I don't want to be called a fool. You know, here I am just taking care of myself, securing my future. I'm making wise decisions. God said, you're a fool. All that he had were privileges, the abuse of which led to the loss of all. We're talking this morning about the stewardship of privileges. Your body. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God in your body. You have no right to do anything else. Your words. Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We have no right to even use our own mouth the way we want to. Your thoughts. But I have a right to think what I want. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon and have mercy when you forsake your unrighteous thoughts. I don't have a right to think what I want to think. Amen. I'm held accountable. God, my ability to think is a privilege. What I think is based on privilege. Your deeds, Romans 2:6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Your belongings, Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. None of it's mine. None of it. Your family. Husbands. You may not abuse your privileges. Wives. You may not abuse your privileges. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, you're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church. You're not supposed to be bitter against her. You're supposed to dwell with her according to knowledge. It says the wife is to obey the husband as unto the Lord, as it is fit in the Lord in Colossians. In Malachi 2:12, it says the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar with tears and weeping and crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore, nor receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Wherefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. I don't have a right to treat my wife how I want to treat her. It's a privilege. It says provoke. In Ephesians 6, provoke not your children to wrath. They're not my children. It says your children, yeah, but they're really not mine. I can't do with them as I will. It's a privilege. I'm entrusted with a privileged position. It says, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's a command. I have to obey that command. I have no right to do anything else. We talked last week about partiality, and this follows right on the heels of that. Brothers and sisters in the church, youth, children, boys, girls, you may not abuse your privileges. Let's talk about the church. Stewardship of the church. The church is a privilege. God gave His life for the church. Jesus, God shed His blood. He bought the church with His own blood. The church is a privilege, and it's a part of yours and my stewardship of God's work. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another. Let's talk about my influence. To provoke and to love and to good works. That's the only thing I have a right to do. That's what my privileged position is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Stewardship of the influence that I have in the body of Christ. I don't have a right to influence the way I want to. It says here, for if we sin willfully, that's a deliberate neglect of my stewardship of the church and of my privileged position in the church. If we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Because why? I assumed I had rights I didn't have. Which shall devour the adversaries. That's God's label on it. Oh, well, we were following the faith before we came, and we'll still be following the faith after we leave. I wonder what God's label is. Oh, we were following God before we met you, and we'll be following God after we leave. Nobody likes the labels that God puts on things. It says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now that's contrasted with he that despises the church program of God in the New Testament. A stewardship of privileges. It says, how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that saith, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a privilege to be a part of God's work. It's a privilege to be alive and healthy, to speak, to have hands and feet and ears and eyes. A privilege to have a wife and a husband and children and a home, time together. A privilege to have a church and a pastor. Fellowship. It's a privilege to know the truth. And we will all give an account for our stewardship of our privileges. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I have no right to do otherwise. You realize that? When the Bible says do something, it means I have no right to do otherwise. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I have no right to do otherwise. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I have no right to do otherwise. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. I have no right to do otherwise. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Because you have no right to do anything else. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. These are conditions of privileges. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as life, then you live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Why? Because these are the conditions of the privilege of being God's child. I have no right to do anything else. We could go on. I could go on, walk through the scriptures. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of them that do well. Why? I have no right to do anything else. Even, you know, when it says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. This is a stewardship of your privileges. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Because you have no right to do anything else. These are the conditions of your privileged position. But I have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You are a steward of privileges. The question is, what kind of steward are you? In Luke 16, quick, just one verse and we're done. He said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer a steward. Now, you are a steward. You are a steward. You have no choice in the matter. Okay? You're a steward. God's given you privileges. The Bible says He makes His sun to rise on the good and the evil. They both are stewards of that sun. And they will give an account for what they did with it. Okay, now, the question is, are you wasting His goods? What constitutes wasting His goods? Well, obviously, for the steward to use his master's goods contrary to his master's plan, his master's will. For the steward to use his master's goods for the steward's purposes, the steward's ends, the steward's wants, and the steward's wishes, thinking he had a right to use his master's goods however he pleased, the master saw it as wasting his goods. Don't waste his goods. Someday, if God catches you wasting his goods, in other words, using them for what you want instead of what he wants, he may say, give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. When he said to that rich man, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What was he saying? He was saying, thou mayest be no longer steward. Your stewardship's over. You've wasted my goods. You've misused your privileges. Thou mayest be no longer steward. My brothers and sisters, this is serious business. We are stewards. You didn't have to sign up for it. You were born into it. You're a steward whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Stewardship. Who hold the truth and continue in unrighteousness. They were bad stewards of what they were given. For when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Stewardship. We all are stewards of privileges. No rights. Stewards of privileges. Careful. Careful what you do with your master's goods. If you waste his goods, your stewardship will be taken away. Let's stand. God help us. Oh, if we could just keep this before our minds. We live all too much on the assumption of rights. Anytime you say, I've had enough, I can't take it anymore, you're assuming you have a right to say that. Maybe God says, you haven't had enough, you're going to get more. You can take more. If you say, I quit, you're a steward of privileges. Did God say you could quit? Compromise. It doesn't matter. You name it. You're a steward of privileges. But we live all too often on the assumption of rights. Any thoughts from the brethren before we pray? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.